Tonight telling you, church, that or friends, that the things that I've mentioned to you in my illustrations in the onset of this message thought by themselves will destroy you. No, I didn't tell you that either. But what I am saying to you tonight is this: as a result of our, or maybe your, living in such a fast-paced, competitive society, is people including those of like of you and I, can easily, you hear that? Easily find themselves being or becoming heavily weighted down and burdened down in our lives. What I'm referring to is the wrong kind of burden. I say this because I believe that getting that job is not the most important thing in life. Spending all of your energies doing and going about establishing and heading for goals that in the end will have no real meaning at all. When your soul is called up yonder, it's not going to matter where you worked. It's not going to matter where you went, what places you visited anymore. When your soul is called up yonder and you have chosen to focus on not that eternal destination or your destiny of your soul, but instead it was on all that you could do in order to get ahead and succeed in areas of your life that you believe one day would get you there. But when you stand before God, you see, we're in a end time dispensation. We're in a time frame where that reality is going to one day come very, very clear. Well, I won't die until I'm 75. I'm going to be here until I'm 90. And the next thing you know, tragedy happens and they're not here anymore. Well, what did you do now? What will you do now? To discover that you might have been rich according to the world, but you were bankrupt in concerns to God. That's really what was important. I should have focused on what mattered, making my soul right with my Creator. I believe it's then that all you did and all that you had chosen to do in your life outside of your seeking God and to keep your spiritual house in order would sadly, for you, will not have left you with a pot of gold at the end of your rainbow. But you will face an eternity now without God, an eternity to regret the fact that it was you who chose to allow your life to become burdened down with the wrong burden. I chose that. I chose this life. Remember that time I shared with you quite a long time ago? It was very impacting on my mind. I was just a young man then. I was probably in my early 30s. And there was a man whose dad owned a gas station, many gas stations in his young life. Him and his brother and the father sold the entire lot of the gas station chain and he became an overnight instant millionaire, and he went on cruises, and he bought stuff, and he was able to afford fancy cars, and he lived in a big, beautiful house, and he, as I said, he went on vacations, and he was on this one cruise. He went on a cruise that was loaded with people that were in their mid to late 70s, 80s, 90s. There were millionaires and billionaires, and he sat around a bunch of elderly men one time in a social hour, and they said, "You know what? I give you every penny that I've got, young man. What are you doing on this cruise anyhow?" And he told them how he came into his fortune. He was in his mid-30s, a little bit older than me. "You got all that money. I give you every penny I had for one possession of yours." "Oh, excuse me, sir, what would that be?" "Your youth. I'd give it all away. Because I'm going to die soon. I'm on the last leg of my life, and you're sprouting into yours." Burdened down with the wrong burden. It's Luke who, in his writing, quoting the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and the 15th, second portion, the 15th verse, who writes, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." That's not where life is. I've got it. I've got it all. I work for it. And that's why I believe tonight that your focus should be focused upon the fact that you only have one life, and so soon it shall pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Well, Pastor, you're talking to the majority of the church. You better believe I am. Where are your focuses? Where is your purpose in life? What are you doing in preparation for your eternal goal? Tonight, as a people who claim to be living for God in their lives, How often is it, has it been that you and your walking with God have considered the question of just where it is that you're going, what is important that you're doing? What are you doing right now? What have you done to secure your heavenly goal that will help you in securing that much desired purpose, eternal goal? Meaning, is all that you do and how it is that you live your life down here, is it really preparing you for that day when God calls you home? Or could it be that life, and because the busyness of your everyday, could it be that instead it's you, maybe some, maybe all, who have allowed your life to become burdened down with the wrong burdens? I don't have time to pray. Come on. Get up. Let's go. Make my lunch. Gotta go. I'm out the door. Where's my Bible? I haven't seen it for a week. Leave me alone. We're going to be late for church. So? Well, you're 30 minutes or an hour early for work. So what? I miss the church. Big deal. So what? There's next week. You got to go shopping. Let's go buy that. Let's go here. Let's do this. Let's go there. Hey, look, we need to invest in this. This is what you need. It's a two-week course. And well, I've got other commitments. I've got commitments in church. I teach a Sunday school class. Yeah, tough. You want to make money or not? I've got things to do. And yet one day, I've heard people say, I'll make room for God and the things of God in my life. But right now, I'm busy. I've got my youth. I've got my life. And surely that day, the day will come when you say you'll take the time to get God in your life and to get your house in order. Like I preached just last Sunday, one day. I'll get it together one day, and more often than not, some of us would have to really admit it, more than we want to admit it, that day, my friends, never comes. It's not going to come. I don't purpose. You know what I like most about work? The paycheck. The two-week holiday. The stat days. I love those. Those were the highlight of my career. Not the 9 to 5, the midnight to 8, the 12-hour shifts, all the extracurricular I had to do for my job. That didn't get me. Tonight, for just a few moments, I want to take a look at the parable of the sower that we read in the book of Mark, chapter 4. I want to bring it together as a net. This is where Jesus, who through the words of Mark, speaks of the sower. In verse 5, we found where Jesus says, according to the seeds that were sown, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And then we find in verse 15, it's Jesus who took the time to explain what happened to the word that was sown there. Verse 15 of Mark chapter 4, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. I guess in concerns to the first illustration, the parable in light of my referring to the wrong burdens, is the seeds that were sown which fell by the wayside did not grow into a healthy plant because of the lack of the understanding of God's word, thereby allowing Satan to snatch the word from their hearts before it had time to grow. Too busy for church, too busy for a Bible study, too busy to take the time to read and to hide God's word in your heart. Well, how would I do that? Well, read your Bible by attending one service and then not attending the next. I don't have time. Or by listening to, or maybe allowing somebody who really is not doctrinally sound to speak into your fertile garden, when all the while it's Satan, with his lies and the avenues of his deception, steals from you in the end that which kills the seed sown in your heart. His name was John. And I might have shared that with you, but John just popped into my mind. A young man, I would have been late 20s, and he probably was in his early 20s. He came one night to a store that I was working in. I was in one of those convenience stores. I was midnight to 8, and he came, and I talked to him for about 2 hours, and the scripture just poured out into my brain, out of my mouth, into his heart. He was so excited about what I told him. And then I said, well, come tomorrow night, John, and I'll show you. I'll bring my Bible. You bring your Bible. I'll show you everything I told you here tonight. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm coming. And he left, and it was a week, and then it was a second week. I didn't see John. Then one night he came in, and he stood at the door, and he said some really nasty things to me. And I said, what are you talking about? Because Satan had come along and sowed the wrong kind of seed into his fertile garden. And the devil snatched out that chance of that opportunity, that young man today who could have been saved. Too busy. Maybe, just maybe because of your love of the world, off you go back into the world. You can say a world that until that time that God tried to step into your life, in this case, the world was already well on its way to destroying you. People look at their lives, they're heading towards disaster. God steps in the crossroad, and here's the wayside. And before God could secure them, ground them, and see them saved, they're destroyed. I want you to hear me tonight. If you don't take time to pray, to read your Bible, or to ensure that you are in the house of God for services when services has been called, listen to me. You won't. You won't take that time. We're busy. We're always busy. Verse 5 and 6. The Bible says some fell upon, that's Mark 4, some fell upon stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no earth or depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Then going to verse 16 and 17, Jesus gives us this illustration. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for but a time. And afterward, when affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I can tell you tonight that over the past 37 years, I don't think I could accurately count the number of people in the church or coming into the church or having been in the church for any number of years who were sidetracked in their walk with God as a result of offense, bitterness, blaming God, being the ones to blame God's word for their life's woes. Offense. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness. They, like many of us here tonight, when we first heard of Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As it was shown to them when the promise of the Holy Ghost was offered to them, as it was offered to you, well, you took that ball and you started to run with it. This is what I want. I'm going here. Woo! Let's move it. Let's go forward. Until your focus was diverted because you were offended. Everything was going fine until it was you who, in your walk with God, chose to pursue the right of your holding a grudge. Maybe getting even or blaming God for what was happening to you in your life. You know, I never had this kind of trouble out in the world, I've heard people say. I never had to suffer loss of the good friends as I do now. Well, you're right, because in the world, your life was much more of a mess. It was, you couldn't distinguish between trouble and disaster because it was already in disarray. And the only so-called friends that I remember in my world, the good friends you likely had were only there as long as you had something to give them. Money, drugs, booze, cigarettes. You know, ever since I chose this narrow road, all I seem to get is rejection because I don't do and I don't go the same places or maybe do some of the things others do. Yeah. Yep. Straight and narrow. All right, let's continue. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 18 and 19 of Mark 4 will explain this. Jesus says, and these are they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Herein lies, church, the host wherein many a soul loses out with God. I've watched it. I've seen it as just a young saint in the Lord. I've seen it when I began to enter into ministry. I've seen it as an assistant pastor. I've seen it as a daughter work minister. In over 20 years in Williams Lake, I've seen it play itself out. Those who allow the weight of the world and the care of it to literally choke out their faith in God, the God that you or maybe they claim to be serving, they choke it out. God will help you through that. He can't. God will take care of you. No, He won't. God will bless you if you're faithful to Him. I guess what I'm referring to is becoming frustrated or carrying your burdens needlessly instead of giving them those burdens, your burdens, to God. We sing that song, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord." Leave them there. I could tell you hundreds of times, I've watched people, "Oh God, please take care of this. Here I am. I'm going to give it to you, Lord." And there you go. And they're standing straight at that time. And you watch the picture there for a second. And then pastor dismisses. "Hey, sister, how you doing?" "Well, brother, we got a bad back tonight." "Yeah, I don't know what it is." And out the door they walk. They didn't leave it there. They brought it with them. They took it back home. Take your burdens. I'm so frustrated with life. I can't remember who it was. I think I just remember who I told a couple of people the other day, you know. As a young Christian, just in the church, 6 months to a year, my very spiritual wife, who continues to run that gauntlet of time, used to throw words at me when I was frustrated with the world or situations. "Have you prayed about it?" "Ah! Have you prayed about it?" I was so Christian-like. "Have you prayed today?" People go, "Listen, don't be getting me angry when I ain't had my coffee yet." Really? Why don't you stop and pray first? I don't need coffee. You need prayer. Have you prayed about it?
What's God going to do about it?
Everything if you let Him. You don't have to needlessly carry those burdens. Give them to Him. There's a lady in the church that we know quite well, and you know what she used to say? She used to say, "God, why don't you drive?" Sometimes I think in the spiritual car with the Lord, we need to move over, friends, and let Him carry them. But I've got to hang on to it. It's got to be mine. It's my problem, my trouble. It's dragging me down. I'm burdened. "Boy, you don't look like you're praying." "Don't ask me about prayer. And I haven't seen you about 3 weeks from church. Don't bother me." Burdened down. And you didn't need to be. I've heard people say, "Well, I got to work nights, weekends in order to make my bills." Yeah? I guess God won't help you. And instead, you chose to be faithful to Him first. Instead of choosing to chase the dollar and in turn, starve your spiritual soul. I don't know about you. I'm pastor, but it don't matter. I need God. I need the gathering of the faithful. I need the church. I need the Word of God. I need prayer. I need everything God offers to me. Yet I've heard people say, "But pastor, I've just got to do it. I have to. I can't be in church this Sunday or maybe Wednesday night. Listen, I only got weekends off. You know, frankly, outreach. Man, it cramps my style. It messes up my day and I've made other plans, okay? Peanut brittle making. Knock it off, Wilson. I got a time to play." Listen, okay, I said I'm sorry. I understand the church needs to make money in order to survive, but I just can't help out. I've got so much to do. I'm busy. I've got family I need to take care of. Well, I've got other plans. Thank you. I've got other plans. But I guess if I ask many of you, my second pastor used to say this, you would not be too busy to do what you wanted to do, what you make the time to do. But I understand when it comes to God often how that, you know, some are just too busy to be able to help. That's true. Cares of life. I can't help. And finally, Mark chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. And it sprang up and it increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and 100. Well, we go down to verse 20, the first portion. "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it." Pastor, this is good meat. This is going to help me. You know what? Maybe my focus has been straying. I'm zeroing in on that heavenly goal. I'm going to make my purpose God first. I'm going to realize that all out that let the world take care of it. You know what? What does Jesus say? Sufficient of today is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. You need to worry about today. If I went around the room and if I gave you time in the study and if I said, "What are you doing next Wednesday at 3? Why? That's a church day. I'm getting stressed, Dustin. I don't know. Confession. I don't know either. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I wonder tonight where your true heart lies. Just what the burdens that you're carrying in your life are. Where are you focused, you see? I wonder tonight, would it be God who would look into your life, into your soul, to find you bankrupt? Not sold out to His cause, not grounded maybe in His word, going about being offended and taking offense and blaming others and also blaming God? Could it be? Maybe putting the onus of why you don't, why it is that you say you can't do or go or participate in things that are contrary to God and His word, or the reason you've allowed yourself to become distant from your need of getting and being ready by committing your life and all that you have done and all that you will do to become closer to God. Could it be that it's you who stands firm upon the word of God and whose love for God is unchangeable? Mm-hmm. Is it you maybe whose focus and intent and soul's purpose is to do all that you can do in your life to get ready to meet God? That's my goal. I want to be ready. I want to say this tonight. Over the past few services, I believe that it's God who has been inspiring the messages that have been preached, if for no other reason than for you, for all of us, to take the time to take a spiritual inventory of our soul. Don't listen to podcasts. Don't buy a newspaper. Stay away from the tabloids. Turn off that idiot box. It'll scare you to death. China, Russia, North Korea, Iraq, ISIS, shootings, murders, killings. And these are the beginning of sorrows. I'm going to go crazy. No, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to purpose my heart. Every once in a while, I believe it's you who should ask and then reaffirm within yourself the question, what is it that Jesus would find you doing if He came back in order to claim your soul? Where would you be today, tonight? What would Jesus say about you? Go from a.m. to the p.m. start of church. What would God say that He found you doing? Would Jesus find you running to and fro? Would He find you burdened down with the wrong burdens? Or would Jesus find your life doing what's necessary to be ready? Investing in the kingdom of God, taking time for the things of God. I'm talking to you tonight about those who have chosen, those who in turn should not be or become burdened down with the wrong burdens. It's the church. The church. You read in the scripture, He says, "Oh, look what they're doing over in Saudi Arabia. Look what they're doing over in England. Look what they're doing over..." No, He said, focus on Israel. Look what's happening. When you see them compassed about, I want to focus on what God is doing, what He's orchestrating. It's around the corner tonight. I wonder if any of you ever considered the thought of, well, Jesus tarries, or maybe we use the word that He delays His coming if you'd allow your life to become burdened down with the wrong burdens. Maybe you've been in the church a long time and, well, things aren't as important and purposed. Could it be you who is, maybe, could be the one who misses out on all that Jesus has gone to prepare for you because you are burdened down. Your focus, you chose to focus wrong kinds of directives, the wrong kind of goals, the wrongly motivated desires. I want to live for Jesus. I believe that's what matters. Today, if you were to talk to those whose lives are heading towards the end of the road, like I talked about in the beginning of the service here, the aged, if you were to talk to people in their lives maybe faced with or have been faced with maybe a terminal disease, if you were to talk to people in their lives who have been faced with any one of life's misfortunes, accidents that occurred in their life, and that it or maybe they had changed their lives in some cases forever, what you would find, hear me now, don't miss this, what it was that they at one time in their lives would have considered priorities, no longer did they feel that way about them. It doesn't matter. I focused on the wrong purposes. If you were to look into or at their lives now, what you would discover, no doubt would be, would have become refocused, redirected towards more important matters, matters that in some cases are in concerns to where they in their lives are going. Where are you going to end up one day? I don't like hospitals. I'm an anti-hospital guy. It gives me the creeps. And you go into emergency and you see the flashing lights. You're there to visit somebody. I always have this mindset. Hospital is what you go into and you don't come back out of. I had some operations. I won't name the style, but I just throw this in there just for extra. I'd go in there and I'm sitting fully clothed, and they say, well, you know, you got about 15 minutes, and they're going to take you in that little room. I'm good. I want to stay in my street clothes. And then what did I meet? There was this older man when Garfield Lamb was in the hospital, and there was this older guy. He'd walk around with his coat on and fully dressed. I don't know if anybody ever saw him. And I used to think, I wonder if that's going to be me one day. I said, oh, you leaving soon? Yep. I don't know if he left the right way, but anyhow, whether he walked out the door or he stayed there, rolled out the door. I don't want to change and get into that garb because I don't want to be stuck here. And you look at life completely differently when life strikes you with a tragedy. Where am I going to spend my eternity? Is it really worth it all now that life for me has changed? Spending your youth to earn your wealth in order to now spend your wealth to regain your health as you sacrificed, as you gained, as you attained, and you carried the wrong burdens. I did it all wrong. If I could do it again, how would I do it over? Pastor, I've got to finish this job. I've got to work overtime. I've got to allow my focus, my priorities right now to take a different direction. But you know what? Sometime soon when I'm all caught up, I'll be faithful to church. I'll live for my life for God. I'll make church and God's purpose for my life my focus, just not right now. Let's bring this to a close. I want to bring it home. You can get the job, you can attain those possessions, you can strive to and arrive at that goal, but what I'm saying to you tonight is when it's all said and done, what it is that you will have gained will likely not amount to nothing other than selling out of your soul. You're missing out on what's really, really important. For what? Those who make decisions to allow their lives to become burdened with the wrong burdens often never find the time to focus, to refocus their lives more than to end up losing or completely losing out with God. I want to share the scripture with you before she begins to play. Luke in his gospel in the 21st chapter, verse 34 through 36. We're in a very critical time, a very critical juncture. And I believe the Spirit of God is reaching out to his church. Luke 21, verse 34 through 36. The writer writes, "And take heed to yourselves at any time, lest your hearts, anytime your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, the cares of life, so that they come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always that you might be counted worthy to escape those things, all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before that Son of Man." I ask you tonight, wouldn't it be the greatest of sorrows to discover in the end of your life, that because you allowed maybe the care of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, to cause you to miss on arriving at that heavenly goal. Wow. Having shared and having expressed to you the importance of not allowing your life to become burdened down with the wrong burdens, whether we like it or not, life's burdens, life's pressures, life's stresses will come. Yes, they will. And yet there still remains only one primary burden and focus that you should seek to take care of with the greatest of care, ensuring that your life and all that you have is prepared to meet Jesus when He comes. In closing tonight, living for Jesus Christ, giving your all to Him, preparing your heart, your soul for the coming of your eternal destination, that's what you need to be preparing for, not chasing, gaining, getting things in this world. Don't become burdened down, friend. We're rounding the corner. How close is that end? We've taken a shift. We've taken that turn. Let's stand. Give your all to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. I guess it's up to you what you will do if in your heart you've been asking God, God, I want the answer. I got to know, what should I do with my life? The next few moments at the close of the service, how you respond will prove to bring, I think, God's answer to you. What you're feeling right now, I will tell you, is the Spirit of God, I believe, drawing you, saying, come to me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Your burdens are heavy. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. As I open this altar, I will read to you Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just don't get burdened down with the wrong burdens. It's time to look in that mirror. Three services, three times. I thought, wow, God. I think sometimes God just impresses, and maybe He's reaching for somebody. He's reaching for you tonight. God wants to take your soul. Why don't you come and why don't you pray with somebody? Why don't you reach over to that friend beside you and say, let's focus on where we're going. Let's focus on what God's going to do. God, I want to pray. I want to reach. I don't want to be burdened down with wrong burdens. What's going to matter?